Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Today's broadcast is an encore presentation. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Today, as I read an article in the Washington Post by a woman named Baronelle, my mind flashed back to the words of a man named Polycarp. When he was asked to violate his conscience, he refused. 86 years I have served him, said Polycarp. He has never done me wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king who has saved me? Baronelle has been a florist for over 30 years. Her article in yesterday's Post is titled, "I'm a florist, but I refuse to do flowers for my gay friend's wedding." She notes then that Rob Ingersoll had been one of her very favorite clients. "I knew he was gay, but it didn't matter. I enjoyed his company and his creativity." When Rob asked her to create the floral arrangements for his wedding, she talked it over with her husband, and then she prayed. After carefully considering what was at stake, she was struck by the conviction that marriage is a sacred religious ceremony between a man, a woman, and Christ. It's a covenant with the church. And therefore, to participate in a wedding that violates those principles violates the core of my faith. Feeling very badly that she could not share that day with Rob, as she had so many others before, she took his hands and said, "I'm sorry, I can't do your wedding because of my relationship with Jesus Christ." After providing Rob with the names of 3 floral artists that could make his same-sex wedding day special, they hugged, and then Rob left. Baronelle could hardly have imagined what was going to happen as a result of her deeply held religious convictions. First, she was sued by Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson. Shortly thereafter, Rob and his partner, Kurt, filed suit as well. Baronelle notes that she had employed gays and lesbians, that Rob had been a longtime customer, and that he had other wonderful vendors to choose from. Nonetheless, the state and the same-sex couple were determined to impose their will. "However they want to punish me, they can't change my faith," writes Baronelle. "What happens in my business or my life is in the hands of God. Having a clear conscience means far more to me than any amount of money or business." Polycarp, in the train of early martyrs, of course, was of the same persuasion. He cared more about eternal verities than earthly vanities. I don't know whether Baronelle's faith was bolstered by stories of saints and martyrs, but what I do know is that reading such stories inspire us to continue on as cultural change agents rather than cultural conformists. Whether one agrees with Baronelle's present persuasions or those of Polycarp in the past, their testimonies cause us to think deeply about our life and living. And this is precisely why I am so adamant about putting a book into your hands, it will cause you to think about those things that really matter. The book is titled Same-Sex Marriage, and let me say this. There are very few subjects that are, on one hand, more significant than this at this particular epoch of time. It's, as the subtitle says, a thoughtful approach to God's design for marriage. And I can't say it any other way but that this is must reading. It's not an elective. It's must reading. It is thoughtful, it is thought-provoking, and quite frankly, it will challenge you to think about where you stand today or whether you stand at all. Because if the church does not become a change agent, if it becomes simply an imitator of the culture, we are going to continue a rapid decline. Again, Same-Sex Marriage, the book, is written by co-hosts of radio, co-writers, Sean McDowell, John Stonestreet, and John joins me now. He's the executive director of the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview. I can't think of a more important post than that. He is co-host with Eric Metaxas of Breakpoint, one of my favorite shows. It is a Christian worldview radio program that was founded by my friend Chuck Colson. And he is also the voice of The Point, a daily national radio feature on worldview apologetics and cultural issues. And he serves as senior content advisor for Summit Ministries in Manitou Springs, Colorado. He, of course, as mentioned, is also the co-author of this incredible resource available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, outreaches around the world. John, good to have you on the broadcast.
Hank, thank you so much. And thanks for those very kind words, both about the book and about Breakpoint. It's a difficult topic, but as you said, I think so many Christians think that they can choose to sit this one out. Here you have a sweet grandmother, you know, who has a friend and a client and is forced into this decision and now forced into national spotlight, into a lawsuit and all kinds of things. This isn't an issue that we can sit out. It's an issue that we're being confronted with. And I just am so grateful, Hank, that you want to push your audience to think well about this. And I think you're dead on. That's exactly right.
You know, I've alluded to this, John, but talk a little more about the significance of this subject. If you think of the bedrock or the foundation of all of civilization being the matter of life, nothing more foundational than that. If you have a major pillar that stands on that foundation, it must surely be the issue of marriage.
Well, you're exactly right. And there's two reasons why this issue really matters. And you identified one, and that is because marriage matters. And so what we do with marriage matters. And we're trying to do something new to it, something that even civilizations through history that did not share kind of Christian sexual ethics still identified the male-female child relationship as unique and had something like marriage, to basically produce and protect the next generation. And so marriage itself, I mean, it's not like it's an option. This has been a universally recognized institution. And it was recognized as it was, as that institution by which children were produced and preserved and future citizens were created. The other reason, Hank, that this particular issue matters is not because marriage itself matters and has throughout history, but it's because we haven't seen a more successful social revolution than the LGBT movement in our lifetime. I mean, the speed at which this particular idea, same-sex marriage, went from being unthinkable to now really unquestionable, where you can lose your job and certainly lose your social standing and lose some friends, as I'm sure many of your audience has experienced. You know, has been nothing less than stunning. I mean, Sean and I talk about this in the book. We both grew up in the 80s, where the number one show on television was The Cosby Show. You know, and today, you know, the most popular portrayal of family on television is Modern Family, where marriage has gone from being very clearly defined to basically take your pick. There's a traditional family, a divorce, remarried, trophy wife situation, and a same-sex couple. All of them count as the modern family these days. And it's been remarkable how quickly this has shifted.
Talking to John Stonestreet, he is the co-author of Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can get your copy online at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. John, one of the things this book, I think, does so well is underscore what is at stake in the redefinition of words, in this case, the redefinition of marriage.
Right, that's it. I mean, at the root of this is a lot of redefinitions. And really, one of the things that we say in the book is that the root of the redefinition of marriage is the redefinition of what it means to be human. You know, we have gone, you know, one of the casualties of the sexual revolution is kind of a coherent understanding of what it means to be one of us, to be a human person. It used to be, you know, kind of understood throughout Western civilization that, you know, to be human is to be, you know, metaphysical and ask these big questions about life and meaning and morality, and we would fit our behavior, including our sexual behavior, on the side. But if you think about identity in our culture today, it's almost exclusively defined by sexual inclinations and sexual choices. And once that definition slid, now we've got to slide in the definition of what marriage entails. So what's happened is that age-old definition of marriage that was recognized across civilization, even non-Christian civilization, that it, you know, protects and promotes and produces future generations, now marriage is essentially a government imprimatur on sincere affection or sincere love. It's a means by which we bestow equality. And this is brand new because, really, once you get rid of the definition of marriage, which has something to do with children and has something, therefore, to do with gender, once you get rid of that, then you get rid of any definition of marriage that has something to do with the number two. I mean, why does it have to be two if it doesn't have to do with male and female and, therefore, babies? Why does marriage discriminate against brothers and sisters? I mean, there's all kinds of ways that marriage has been defined, you know, based on the historic way that marriage has been defined, there's all kinds of relationships that marriage hasn't included. By expanding marriage to include same-sex couples, you're doing away with what marriage itself is, and it's going to be very difficult for culture now to not include other relationships as being understood as marriage.
Again, we're talking to John Stonestreet. The book, Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage, is must reading. I said this at the top of the broadcast. This is not an elective. This is a book you have to have in your library. This is a book that you ought to buy or order in multiple copies to give to others. It is a transcendently important subject, and it is written at a crucial juncture in history. It's eminently readable. It's understandable. It will help you know precisely what we are facing. And this is, and I'm going to talk to John about this when we come back from the break. This is not a ship that has passed, and therefore we are required to take a defeatist attitude. What can we do? I mean, if you look at all the metrics, it looks grim. But we've been through these battles before. I brought up Polycarp for a reason at the beginning of this broadcast. He ought to give us great courage, great perspective. The fact that this is not just about now, this is about eternity. And in the midst of all kinds of difficulty, remember that Christ came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. So we can start to simply rely upon our own energies, or we can rely upon uncreated energy, the energy of God. And when we do that, we are in a majority. We can make a difference. So we're going to talk about what we can do as a body when we come back from the break. Remember, same-sex marriage, as well as the special edition of the Christian Research Journal, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and what we're doing around the world. You can order in a safe, secure fashion for your gift on the web at equip.org, or just talk to one of our resource consultants, the number 888-7000 and letters CRI. Back with more of John Stone Street.
Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? To help Christians respond to same-sex sexuality and marriage, Hank Hanegraaff has put together a resource package that includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stone Street, along with a special edition of the Christian Research Journal, featuring articles concerning same-sex sexuality and transgender issues by Joe Dallas and Hank. To receive these two powerful resources as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The seven deadly sins are vices that undermine loving God and loving others. The virtuous life, by contrast, is one that resembles the image of the truest human, Jesus. Character cultivation begins not with moralistic endeavor, but with a relationship with God and Christ, which in turn transforms our character. Other topics include, is Christianity bad for your health? Why we lost the culture war and how to make a comeback? Morality, therefore God, an evangelistic strategy, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? Can I attend a same-sex wedding? Can my business provide services for a same-sex union ceremony? What if a person in a gay marriage becomes a Christian? If you haven't encountered these questions yet, stay tuned. Given the current reality shift, you're likely to. Get well-reasoned answers to these and other questions in CRI's Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package, which includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stone Street, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Watchman Nee observed in the letter to the Ephesians that three profoundly relevant themes for the Christian life were ordered in a particular way: our position seated in Christ, our walk with Christ in the world, and our stand for Christ against the enemy. An all too common mistake occurs when Christians attempt to walk in the world or stand against the enemy in their own power, not realizing that Christianity does not begin with walking or standing. It begins with sitting. In his classic little book, Sit, Walk, Stand, Watchman Nee expounds on the timeless truth that the starting point of the Christian life is being seated with Christ. To receive Sit, Walk, Stand as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. It's frankly hard to comprehend that in the span of several decades, an institution as foundational to civilization as marriage has been so radically redefined. The swift acceptance of same-sex marriage is a massive cultural earthquake, resulting in the emergence of a dramatically different social landscape. The book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas, will help you stand firm for biblical life and truth amid this new cultural chaos. Receive these two powerful resources as our thanks for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We are in the midst of a complete overhaul of our culture. And as John Stonestreet, my guest, pointed out in the first segment of the broadcast, there was a very clear agenda. Target the skeptics. Neutralize what was thought of as religious bigotry. Portray gays as victims. Make gays look good. Connect those who oppose gays with villains of history, anti-Semites and Klansmen. There was a very clear way of approaching this subject that has turned the culture upside down. And the question I have for you, John, is if that can be done by a very small segment of the population, why is it that so many that take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips are not salt in the culture?
Wow, Hank, that is a great question. I think you alluded to it at the end of the last segment too. But part of it is that we, in many ways, we can learn from cultural agendas like the LGBT movement and the success that it had, but we also are called to a higher standard of honesty and also reliance on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think, and this is one of the things that Sean and I spent a lot of time on in the second half of the book, is that this isn't just an issue out there. Same-sex marriage, for example, is not the only failure when it comes to marriage. I mean, we have an incredible divorce rate, no-fault divorce, redefined marriage the first time around. And we have a scandalously high divorce rate in the church. I mean, there's all kinds of things. There's a lot of these things, I think, that's kind of sucking our power away from us and being inconsistent on the overall definition of marriage. And that's what we said in the first segment, right, is that same-sex marriage is a big deal because marriage is such a big deal. And there's a lot of ways that marriage is coming apart in society and in the church in general.
Yeah, so, one of the things I do appreciate about this book, and there are many, is that you not only curse the darkness, as it were, I'm speaking, of course, metaphorically, but you're building a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. So you're laying out a game plan for responding to same-sex marriage in the short term, in the long term. Give us an idea of how you do that.
Well, yeah, we wanted to do that. I mean, there's two kind of aspects to dealing with this issue. Number one is knowing how to think, and number two is knowing what to do. We have to think in the long term. Even though the pace where we got same-sex marriage seems so fast and so overwhelming, particularly just in the last 5 years, I mean, it's just been unbelievable. This is the fruit of a whole lot of really bad ideas that came out of the sexual revolution. And so just like these ideas took a long time to really take root and then sprout really bad fruit, we're going to have to build a long-term strategy. We're going to have to rebuild the concept of marriage. I work with a lot of high school and college students, as does Sean, and it used to be when you said to these to high schoolers, let's defend traditional marriage, They knew what that was. I mean, you got to remember, this generation has never seen a traditional marriage on television, much less many of them in their own lives. So we've got to rebuild what marriage is and what marriage is for. Part of that means kind of strengthening and bolstering our catechesis, our discipleship resources in our church. I think, Hank, we've had a 25 years of therapeutically oriented marriage seminars, like how to have a happy marriage and how to have a godly marriage and a good finances and a good sex life. And these things are very important. But I think along the way, culture has lost any sort of understanding of what marriage actually is. So we need to, as the church, lead the way and disciple our own people. This is what marriage is for. This is what marriage is, so that we understand that. Another thing we got to do, and it seems powerless until you actually look at the scripture and you see the power of repentance, right? The sexual sins among God's people are scandalous. So we have to bring in the power of repentance to restore us to God, to rebuild our homes, rebuild our churches. And we do all this, Hank, remembering in the long term that this vision of sexuality and marriage that's underneath same-sex marriage, that sex should be divorced from childbirth and sex should be divorced from marriage, it's unsustainable for a culture. We've seen sexually broken cultures over and over and over again, and we've seen the church in those cultures repropose God's better design of marriage and sexuality in the midst of sexual exhaustion. We're going to find ourselves in that place again very soon. The culture cannot sustain itself on this bad vision of sex and marriage. So we're going to have an incredible opportunity to be a minister, to minister to the broken and to provide a better way.
We are again talking to John Stonestreet. He is executive director of the Chuck Colson Center for Christian Worldview. He is a wonderful radio host and in addition serves as a senior content advisor for Summit Ministries in Manitou Springs, Colorado, and of course the co-author of this very important book titled, once again, Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage. You can get your copy by simply going to the web at equip.org, ordering online. It's for your gift. Please be generous. We're not only including the book, but a special edition of the Christian Research Journal. You can also order via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. John, what is distinct about this book? I mean, obviously, you wanted to write a book with Sean that is addressing this subject in a thoughtful manner. What's inherent in this book that is so important?
Well, I think the main thing is we thought that there had been a lot of books written on and a lot of work done on same-sex marriage. It's coming, oh no, or same-sex marriage, what if? Not a lot written, same-sex marriage, what do we do now? And so we wanted to, but there had been some great stuff written on marriage and God's design for marriage and just defending marriage even from what Chuck Colson would call prudential arguments. In other words, from observation, from science, from nature, and so on, from natural law. And at the same time, a lot of these books were written at a pretty high level. So we wanted to make this very, very accessible. So the first half of the book lays out a biblical case for marriage and then also a case for marriage that doesn't refer to the Bible. And basically so that we can actually have these conversations with people because we know, you know, this isn't a conversation just for talking heads. If Christians are scared and intimidated into silence across their back, you know, yard fences and around, you know, the parties that they're attending or, you know, even in their own churches, if they don't know what to say, then it's going to be very difficult for us to stand for truth if we don't know how to. And so we wanted to make that very accessible. And then the second thing we wanted to basically say is, well, that there is something we can do. I had one pastor, Hank, I look at me in regards to this issue and say, John, it's over. We've lost. And I thought, you know what? the legal status of something is not the definition of our victory. It's, you know, Jesus is not going to look at a Supreme Court decision and decide to crawl back in the grave, right? I mean, so we needed something that not only clarified the issue, brought the arguments down so that people could understand them in a reasonable way, also share it with others, but also that they would have hope, you know, that we know that in the long run, God's design for sex and marriage is going to win the day, because it's the only one that is a life-giving vision for human relationships and human future. And so, we wanted to get as practical and granular as possible. And so one whole chapter, the very last chapter of the book, is dedicated. What do I do if I'm invited to a ceremony? What do I do if I find myself like Bear Now, the story you told at the beginning of the segment, or the last segment, you know, find myself on the wrong side of a lawsuit because of my Christian convictions? What do I do if? What do I do if? These scenarios are going to pop up for just about everyone, and we wanted to give some guidance on those things.
Another issue, I think, John, that would be worthy of touching on is the issue of attitude. I really like the tone of this book, and I think in many ways it's not just the answers you and I give over radio and through other mediums, but it is the manner in which we give those answers that really matters.
That's exactly right. I mean, I couldn't have said it better, Hank, and it's so, so important on this one that we know that it's not, we don't stand for same-sex marriage because we're hateful or because we're anti-gay. We do it because we are for God and therefore for people. We want what God wants for people because God wants what's best for people. And I don't know about you, Hank, but I talk to a lot of folks where they feel like they have to, on this issue, choose between truth and love. You know, if I'm speaking the truth, I can't be loving. If I'm loving, I can't be truthful. We feel that conflict, but we know that truth and love both are found ultimately in the person of Jesus Christ. So if we feel like they're in conflict, it's a conflict of our perspective, and we have to get our perspective right so that we can speak the truth and love. If it's not loving, it's not truthful, and if it's not truthful, it's not loving. And the tone really, really matters.
When we come back from the break, we're going to be taking a few calls, some more questions for John Stone Street. Again, we're talking about something that is not peripheral. It's central. It's transcendently important. The book, Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, in our outreaches around the world. You can get your copy in a safe, secure fashion for your gift on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Don't forget the transgender tipping point. It's America's next civil rights frontier. I've written about that in the edition of the journal, the special edition, also available for your gift. Both resources available as one package when you support the ministry all this month. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org. And while you're there, look at the great resources that we have available on this and many other subjects. Apologetics, the defense of the faith. It's not about winning arguments. It's about using our well-reasoned arguments as opportunities, springboards for sharing the truth and love and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. Back with John Stone Street and Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage, in just a few moments.
How should you respond if someone you love says, "I'm gay"? What if you are invited to attend a same-sex wedding? What if your business is asked to provide a service for a same-sex union ceremony? These questions and many others related to same-sex sexuality and transgenderism are addressed in two powerful resources: a book titled Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive both equipping resources as our thanks for your gift, Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back in a moment. Some time ago, the Christian Research Institute changed its tagline from "Because Truth Matters" to "Because Life and Truth Matter." Reason being that for Christians, truth and the abundant life are inseparable. It's no small clue that Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. Tragically, in matters of life, Christians often try to walk with Christ in order to one day sit with him. But this is the reversal of the true order. The concise book Sit, Walk, Stand by Watchman Nee explores timeless principles from the book of Ephesians, which demonstrate the truth that we advance in the Christian life only as we learn first to sit down. To receive Sit, Walk, Stand as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The fast-growing acceptance of same-sex marriage is comparable to a massive cultural earthquake and resulting tsunami that rearranges the social landscape. It may well be the most significant social revolution in human history, but there is also a promise. If things can change this fast in one direction, they can change just as fast in another. CRI's special offer of Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles on same-sex sexuality and transgender issues from Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas, will help you stand for biblical life and truth. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage book and journal special offer as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or simply visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Recent atheist writers claim to find real physical and psychological harm in Christian teachings and practices. However, careful analysis of this literature reveals numerous flaws, false assumptions, and factual errors. The real question is whether it is the Christian life or the atheist life that best corresponds to reality and provides for genuine human flourishing. Other topics include the seven deadly sins and the path to virtuous character, does the Levitical prohibition of homosexuality still apply today, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. One of the most significant social revolutions in history involves the recent radical shift in public opinion toward same-sex marriage. Given what is at stake, Christians can no longer stay silent. The book Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, along with a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas, will equip believers to stand against this rising tide of tremendous social and historical significance. Receive the book Same-Sex Marriage, as well as the special issue of the Christian Research Journal, as our thanks for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and making a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. In their book, Same-Sex Marriage, Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet forward the notion that marriage has at all times and in all societies been a relationship between men and women. Indeed, marriage exists because of the dual gender distinct nature of humanity, and as such, marriage and procreation are more than just incidental. in a contrary opinion, and this is in the book as well. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy holds that marriage as historically defined fosters little more than ill will and animosity. In his considered opinion, anyone who embraces the historical definition of marriage, thus excluding same-sex couples, does so out of a motivation, and that motivation is hate and animus. His opinion. Now, his opinion strikes at the very danger that is inherent when you start redefining words. What must surely be self-evident to this supremely erudite arbiter of justice is that virtually every definition of marriage, including his own, excludes some, like siblings, or those who are polygamous, or the underaged. And you can continue to think along with me, but is this due to hate, or is this due to common sense? If marriage means everything, in the end, it may well mean nothing at all. And my point in bringing this up is we have opened Pandora's box. And what will emerge if we are not faithful as change agents in the culture is ghastly. Again, my guest is the co-author of Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage. And John, I want you to expand on that a bit. I mean, this is something that you have so well pointed out. Pandora's box is open by the reasoning that a Supreme Court justice uses, the door is open to all kinds of perversion.
Well, you know, you hate to say I told you so, but it wasn't, 2 months after the Windsor decision came out, where Slate magazine, and I believe it was also in Newsweek magazine, essentially made a case for polyamory. And of course, polyamory is, you know, multiple marriage, what you might call thruples or quadruples or whatever. And of course, if you're saying that marriage is not inherently and intrinsically connected to the male-female sexual relationship because it can produce children, well, then there's no need for a marriage to be about two. And then it wasn't even much longer than that. I spent 10 days last summer down in Australia. About a month before I went down there, a judge basically made the argument that incestuous couples were being discriminated against by not being allowed to marry because their love could very well be sincere, and because we'd already decided as a civilization that married people don't necessarily, it's not necessarily connected with childbirth. And we have, and this is what he said, Hank, we have abortion and contraception, so there's no reason to prevent incestuous couples from, you know, being married. Now think about that for just a second. First of all, his logic makes perfect sense. If marriage is not connected with childbirth, then there's no reason to deny incestuous couples from being married. If all marriage is about the sincerity of somebody's love. So, you know, his logic is sound there. But then he also says, you know, we have abortion and contraception. Now, at some level, then, if you're going to do that, you have to ensure that these incestuous couples don't have babies. You talk about the government doesn't belong in our bedroom. How are they going to ensure that abortion and contraception are being used by these incestuous couples? I mean, it just gets crazy, and it becomes also a tool for vast government intervention. So this isn't the government staying out of our bedroom. This is the government jumping in and ensuring, quote-unquote, equality across the board. So there are so many consequences of expanding the definition of marriage because we're not expanding it. We're redefining it. And that's what's at stake here.
Talking to John Stone Street, again, co-author of Same-Sex Marriage, along with Sean McDowell. Let's see if we can slip in a couple of calls. Sarah, listening in Memphis, Indiana, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Hank. God bless you. Love your show, John. God bless you, too, for all you do. I was wondering about homosexuals who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, whether at an early age or whether at a later age, are active in churches, fully believe in the gospel, but choose to still practice homosexuality. Where do they fall? Are they in the same realm as Christians who commit adultery, Christians who are have premarital, you know, relationships, Christians who get a divorce? How exactly does that work? Because I know that, you know, you want to say that after they've accepted Christ as their Savior through conviction, you would think that they would give up their homosexuality. However, you know, alcoholics still drink and Christians still commit adultery.
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. And it's interesting that it is a really important question now. I mean, in terms of the kind of tsunami of same-sex marriage and the embrace of the LGBT agenda, you know, 2014 was really the year where we saw so many evangelicals, self-identified evangelicals, those who claim to uphold the authority of Scripture, say that somehow we've been historically wrong on this one, that the entire history of the church has misunderstood sexual orientation, and that God would actually want us to endorse committed same-sex relationships. And so it's really kind of complicating this problem, because I think you'd find a lot of individuals who would say what you have said, I love Jesus, but I'm going to, you know, live this lifestyle. And the Scripture is very clear on that. I mean, Paul says we don't continue in sin so that grace may abound. Surely there's forgiveness in Christ. Surely we're defined by that grace and redemption and forgiveness. But Jesus is Lord of all and asks us to live in obedience. And especially the letters of Paul spend an awful lot of time on sexual sin in particular. I mean, Paul says that people who sin, sin, but if you sin sexually, you sin against your own body. It's a whole new level of consequences. But now we have, I think, complicit churches, churches that are looking at God-given, God-designed biological distinction. And by that, I just mean male and female. You know, when Jesus was asked about marriage in Matthew 19, for example, he said God made them male and female. And we're looking at this now. We have pastors of quote-unquote evangelical churches and congregations that have become, you know, the code word there is affirming, saying that this God-created, God-given biological difference no longer matters when it comes to sexuality and marriage. And at the end of the day, we have to look at that and say that is a denial of God's created design, and it's a denial, therefore, in a way, of God the Creator. Now, in terms of someone's eternal security and whether they were saved or once saved and that sort of thing, I think it's always kind of a tricky game when you go down that path. So I'm not willing to do that. But I do think that when we are brought into the family of God because of our trust and faith in Jesus Christ, we're committed to Him, not just as the forgiver of our sins, but as the definer of reality, as the one whose word goes, you know, the one who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so it is. There's a sense that it is willful disobedience. It may be ignorance. It may be that folks are being led astray because of pastors and shepherds that are going to be guilty in front of God for saying that something's okay when it's not. But this is a violation of God's created design. I don't know how else to say it or how else to get around that.
You don't want to get to some more questions, but there simply isn't enough time. John, I do want to ask you this one closing question as we close out the broadcast today. The whole issue of apologetics in a broader sense, you have just demonstrated how to give an answer with gentleness and with respect. Talk about the importance of equipping Christians on a broad scale to do that.
Well, listen, it's just what the Scripture says. You know, Peter is talking to a group of Christians who are facing enormous cultural pressure, even more so than what we're facing today. And he says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. So that, first of all, defines our attitude. It's one of hope. We don't look and say all is lost, because we know the truth of all the world, that Christ has risen from the dead. And that this Christ, who has risen from the dead, will come and make all things new and make all wrong things right, and so on. And we know that's the bigger story than the cultural story or the cultural moment that we find ourselves in. And when we have that confidence, and we also know too, Hank, and this is so important, every single person from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death has enormous dignity and value because they're made in the image and likeness of God. So every person we talk to is an image bearer. Every person we talk about is an image bearer. And because we know the true story of reality and we know the true story of every individual, it's not an option to love people. It's not an option to be winsome and gracious and kind. We may still face persecution, even if we are. And my guess is it's more and more likely that's going to be the case. But we do it not even just because it works, but because people are made in the image and likeness of God and because we know the truth of reality and we stand in a position of truth and confidence and therefore hope.
Well, John, we deeply appreciate your work. I mean, not just the book, but all the work that you're doing. It's just been a wonderful contribution to the cause of Christ at a very important juncture in history. So appreciate your work and appreciate your being on the show today.
Well, I say the same thing to you. I so love your ministry, Hank, and the show that you do every single day. You're doing a great job equipping believers. It's an honor to be on with you.
God bless you, my friend. Again, the book, Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage. Remember, it's a package. It's the book and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal. We went to great pains to put this together for you because this subject is not, as I said, an elective. It is an essential. Log onto the web at equip.org and you get the package there for your gift. Please be generous as you stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. Less than 20 years ago, only a quarter of the United States population supported same-sex marriage. Today, 4 out of 5 voters think that same-sex marriage will be legal throughout the United States within 5 to 10 years. Many believing it won't take even that long. The question is, now what? As biblically committed Christians, where do we go from here? To equip you with well-reasoned responses to questions surrounding same-sex sexuality and marriage, Hank Hanegraaff has put together a resource package that includes the book Same-Sex Marriage, A Thoughtful Approach to God's Design for Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, along with a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Joe Dallas and Hank. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the mind-shaping ministries of CRI, Hank would like to send you these two powerful resources. Just call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The 7 deadly sins are vices that undermine loving God and loving others. The virtuous life, by contrast, is one that resembles the image of the truest human, Jesus. Character cultivation begins not with moralistic endeavor, but with a relationship with God and Christ, which in turn transforms our character. Other topics include, is Christianity bad for your health? Why we lost the culture war and how to make a comeback? Morality, therefore God, an evangelistic strategy, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. Same-sex marriage is here. It went from unthinkable to legal at a dizzying pace. The question is, now what? Can I attend a same-sex wedding? Can my business provide services for a same-sex union ceremony? What if a person in a gay marriage becomes a Christian? If you haven't encountered these questions yet, stay tuned. Given the current reality shift, you're likely to. Get well-reasoned answers to these and other questions in CRI's Same-Sex Marriage Resource Package.
which includes the book Same-Sex Marriage by Sean McDowell and John Stonestreet, and a special edition of the Christian Research Journal featuring articles by Hank Hanegraaff and Joe Dallas. To receive the Same-Sex Marriage resource package as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.